Blog Talk Radio.
Internet world, welcome to the Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy life to listen to the broadcast today. There is chaos, upheaval, disorder, violence, death, destruction, anything you can name is happening in Iran this morning on the fourth day of the protests since the oppressive gas hike this past Friday. There has been unrest, banks have been burned, schools have been closed, police cars have been raided, attacked, and burned. There is over 50 protesters that have been killed. Most of these protests have been peaceful, but the people of Iran have suffered so much. And they have reached their limit that when Rouhani, the president, announced that gas prices would be hiked by 50%, because this country is in chaos over the sanctions, when he made that announcement, the unrest began last Friday. And to top everything off with what's happening in Iran, the government has shut down the internet. That happened on Friday, or late Saturday, I should say. Iran is in the midst of a near-total national internet shutdown. It happened on Saturday. Real-time network data shows connectivity has fallen to just 7% of ordinary levels across the network. The almost complete internet shutdown is the government's way of silencing the voices, the videos, the outcry of the Iranian people. 50 or more protesters have been slain and killed. On my Facebook page, I have multiple videos that show what's happening. Now, my government is supporting the Iranian people. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo announced over the weekend, "As I said to the people of Iran almost a year and a half ago, the United States is with you. The United States hears you. The United States supports you. The United States is with you." I want you to hear this brief report from Al Jazeera, and I will come back and talk more about the protests.
Mobile phone video out of western Iran shows people chanting, "Fuel prices go higher, the poor get poorer." The image repeats in the northern city of Mashhad, except the words are, "Dictator, let go of our country." And near the border with Iraq, they repeat, "Turn your car off," while blocking traffic. As sunset fell across Iran, protests grew against a rise in petrol prices and fuel rationing. The government introduced the hikes on Friday, saying it was to help pay for subsidies for 18 million families in need.
"The first payments will be handled within the next week or 10 days and transferred to the families. President believes that if there is going to be petrol price reform, all of the new revenue will be paid back in full to the people."
But for many, it was a shock. Motorists must now pay about 13 cents per litre. That's a 30% jump. They're allowed 60 litres of fuel per month. Anything over that, they pay double for.
"I hadn't heard the news. I came here and filled 3 litres, and then I noticed the price was 90,000 riyals. Then I asked and they said the price is now 30,000 riyals per litre."
Motorists feared the consequences will be far-reaching.
"In Tehran and the rest of Iran, everything is dependent on fuel prices. If the price of fuel goes up in the night, by day the price of rent will go up as well as other living expenses, including fruit and vegetables. It affects everything, which is very bad. I really believe that it will paralyze a class of society, especially the laboring class."
The fuel price hike and rationing stems from multiple issues. Iran has huge energy reserves, but a limited refining capacity to get it to the pump. The government is fighting fuel smuggling to its neighbours. Iran has some of the cheapest prices in the world due to heavy subsidies and the fall of its currency. The economy has been in freefall since US President Donald Trump pulled out of the Iran nuclear deal last year.
"Why did they make this decision? Because they don't have money left. We are under sanctions. They want to take the money out of the people's pockets. They have a budget deficit. They have to take it from my and your pockets to be able to run the country."
Former President Ahmadinejad implemented fuel rationing in 2007 in an effort to curb consumption. Iranians resisted it then, and this time it's no different. Charlotte Ballas, Al Jazeera.
The economy in Iran is collapsed since President Trump came up with a plan to increase the pressure of the sanctions this past November. And with the complete pressure, the oppression going on with the government restricting freedoms and human rights violations, you have economic woes, and now you have a price hike. The people of Iran have suffered more than they can bear. This protest has spread to over 70 cities in Iran. This reminds me of the uprising in 2017 that carried on into 2018. And then there was a pocket of time where there was no real outpouring of protests, and now it has began again. But the biggest problem that Iranians are facing is that the internet has been shut down. The government doesn't want the videos and the voices of the people abroad across the globe. They don't want the world to understand what is happening in this country, that this government, this dictatorship government, has strangled the people to the point of collapse. The protests in Iran have killed and injured hundreds. According to reports, Iranian citizens in Tehran and cities across the country have continued their protest not only from Saturday to Sunday morning, and they've ignored the pressure and warning from the police and security forces. The video I have on the page, you will see burning police cars, burning police stations, burning banks. Iran International has received reports of protests from Shiraz, Isfahan, Bishehr, Najat Abad, Tabriz, Karaj, Ahaz, Rasht. According to many reports, dozens have been killed. Well, the actual body count now is beyond 50. You can see in some videos in Shiraz where the police, the military, if you will, are opening fire on innocent, peaceful citizens. They're opening fire on crowds. They're hurling tear gas. And this is happening in Shiraz and Tehran. Protesters have blocked some streets in the capital, Tehran. They've attacked government banks and buildings, and they're chanting, "Death to Khomeini, death to the dictator." They're also chanting that they need the money, not these countries abroad, where the Iranian government continues to funnel their terrorism funds to other countries. And you can see the anti-riot police all over. Tehran's market was mostly closed. In other cities, protesters have attacked and they set fire to government buildings, security buildings, offices of Friday prayer imams, civilian militia bases, police cars, and gas stations. They even shut down many highways and passageways, turned off their engines in protests. And this is because of the decision to triple the price of gasoline. And then the internet blackout came late Saturday on an order from the Supreme Council of National Security. This has been going on since 1979, when Khomeini seized power, promising freedom to a tired group of Iranians. Instead, he brought more bondage and more death. This is the 40th year of the Iranian Revolution, and you can sense in this protest, you can see in these videos that this protest, this outrage goes beyond just the tripling of the gas price. It goes beyond just the sanctions. It goes way beyond that. Iranians are tired. They're tired of oppression. They're tired of no human rights. No freedom. Now you want to take our food away, our gas away. Iran depends so much on taxicabs there and motorcycles that this gas hike is strangling people. And so you can understand and sense the tiredness, the oppressiveness of the Iranian people. What I am doing as a human rights activist, I am gathering signatures and names from all of my Iranian friends. I am composing a letter, a personal email, if you will, to send it to Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, urging him to do all that he can do, along with the State Department, to have the internet restored in Iran. I have Iranian friends who have families living yet in Iran. And my Iranian friends who live in places like Sweden and other places are trying to contact their families. They're very worried with all of the chaos and the protests, and they cannot do it because the internet has been shut down in Iran. So please join with me in standing up and praying for the Iranian people as they go through this vicious cycle once again of unrest and uprisings. They need our prayers. They need our voices since the internet is down. Let's fight alongside the Iranian people and let our voices be heard. Let's speak up for those who really cannot speak up for themselves. And please continue to monitor my Facebook page for all updates of what is happening. I want to go to another story which is related to freedom, which is related to what we've been talking about. I want to give us some good news this morning. There is good news beyond just the unrest in Iran, and it is the freedom of Behrouz Bokhani, who was in detention center at Manus Island for the last 6 years in Papua New Guinea. And this Kurdish-Iranian asylum seeker became very famous and well-known. He wrote a book about the horrible conditions there at Manus Island, and it became a book that was awarded many prizes abroad by other authors. He has been released from Manus Island. And in the midst of this chaos, there is a glimmer of hope of good news. I want you to hear this special report about Iranian Kurdish journalist Behrouz Bokhani.
Immigration New Zealand say there was no political involvement in granting a visa to former Manus Island detainee Behruz Buchani, and he won't be getting any special treatment if he applies for asylum here. The Kurdish-Iranian writer and journalist, who for years advocated on behalf of his fellow Manus Island detainees about their living conditions, landed in Christchurch this morning. Now, while in detention, he won two major Australian literature awards for his book No Friends But the Mountains, which he wrote on his mobile phone. Mr. Buchani has been granted a one-month visitor visa to attend a literature festival in the city later this month, but he's yet to say whether he plans on staying longer. Our Christchurch reporter Anand Zaki filed this report.
After 6 years in detention at Manus Island, where the Australian government sent asylum seekers, Behruz Buchani is a free man. Mr. Buchani says he is here legally by obtaining a passport from the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees and obtaining a visitor's visa after being sponsored by Amnesty New Zealand. But he says he is yet to decide whether or not to seek asylum in New Zealand. His journey from Port Moresby in Papua New Guinea to New Zealand was shrouded in secrecy, with only a handful of people being made aware of his plans.
But in Port Moresby Airport, they, you know, asked me many questions. They, you know, contacted the immigration in New Zealand, I think. And so I was about to miss the flight, you know.
When Mr. Buchani arrived in the Philippines for transit, he was asked the same questions. Even when he arrived in New Zealand, he was surprised by the level of security at Auckland Airport's immigration and customs before he flew to Christchurch.
Everyone went in different way, but they told me you should go from this way. So they searched my bags. It is fun, I understand. Just I want to say that how it's hard to be a refugee in this world.
Mr. Buchani was welcomed to New Zealand by former refugee and Green MP Gulrees Gahraman. Standing alongside him at the airport, she said she doesn't believe Mr. Buchani's arrival will create tension in trans-Tasman relations, as Australia has previously rejected New Zealand's offers to resettle Manus Island refugees.
No, because we're just applying New Zealand law, and, you know, the beauty of it is that it hasn't been politicised, and it shouldn't be when people are just accessing their ordinary rights.
Mr. Buchani was invited to New Zealand by literature festival Word Christchurch. Upon his arrival, he was greeted in Te Reo by Ngāi Tahu and then welcomed by Christchurch Mayor Leanne Dalzell. Word Christchurch Literary Director Rachel King says inviting him to New Zealand was actually quite straightforward. She says the festival has an agreement with Immigration New Zealand to allow speakers to attend on a visitor's visa instead of a work visa. Ms. King says she is elated to see Mr. Buchani in Christchurch.
It was amazing. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. It's the most exciting thing that's ever happened to Word Christchurch. It's a huge moment for literature, and I mean a testament to the power of literature that a book can do this to bring somebody away from a place like Manus Island, Papua New Guinea, and bring them to New Zealand.
Before leaving Port Moresby, Mr. Buchani told the ABC he would never be going back, saying he wants to be somewhere where he is a person, not just a number. He was recently accepted for resettlement in the United States and said he was investigating whether he could fly from New Zealand to the US once the process was completed. Immigration New Zealand Deputy Chief Executive Greg Patchell says should Mr. Buchani claim asylum here, his claim will be decided independently with no involvement by ministers. Mr. Buchani will now take a break in Christchurch after his long travels, before flying back to Auckland again tomorrow. Mo te hōtaka o te ahipone, ko Anand Zaki tēnei.
Well, Behruz Buchani, his claim to fame, if you will, was the book No Friend But the Mountains, when he, in this book, shed light on the plight of asylum seekers like himself who have languished in a kind of purgatory off the coast of Australia. And this Manus Island has been the center of much controversy, torture, mistreatment. Many Iranians have committed suicide there, lighting themselves on fire in self-immolation. So this offshore processing center has been the subject of Buchani's book, and the world reacted with open arms, thankful that on his little cell phone he wrote it. He had help with it, though, and this book has become a major voice against what's happening at Manus Island. And so I'm very, very happy for Boruz Buchani. I hope he resettles here in the United States. That would be fantastic. This man is an incredible voice for the plight of Iranian and all asylum seekers. And so I'm hoping that his time there in New Zealand with this book festival will bring him much more attention. But he wants to be a voice for the Iranian people. And I'm sure this weekend he's got his mind on what's happening in Iran. I'm sure that's foremost on his mind more than anything. I want to also now spend some time here in the final moments to bring you to my dear friend, Mehrnoush, Mehrnoush Bakhtiari. Mehrnoush and I are writing a new book together. We're being a voice once again of the political prisoners in Iran, of the refugees around the world, and Christians in Iran. And one of the stories in our new book, Shout Freedom, The Desperate Cry of Iranians, is Mehrnoush's update of what has been happening in her life since we wrote our first book, Dear God, Please Bring Freedom to Iran. It was at that time that Mehrnoush was facing a decision from the Swedish Immigration Board. And this was a really very stressful time for us because we knew in the past that the Immigration Board, if they don't believe your story, if they don't believe your conversion to Christianity, they will deport you right back to Iran. And so while Mehrnoush's lawyer basically assured her that her case was strong, we still were a little apprehensive, but we stayed together in prayer. I would meet with Mehrnoush on Skype, and we would pray continually about this. Well, I wanted to share with you her brief story, which will be in our new book, Shout Freedom. I took a little time to make a little bit of corrections with her English, but everything is mostly in her own words. And I want you to hear her heart about what it's like now to be a resident of Sweden. The name of the story in our book is My Life is a Miracle, Mehrnoush Bakhtiari. Life is filled with many ups and downs. I totally believe that life is a cycle of happiness, sadness, hard times, and good times. When we are struggling through the hard times, it is vital to our spiritual health that we have hope that soon our lives will once again be filled with good times. A long time ago, I read a text that has become very special to me. I find myself constantly thinking about the profound meaning of this very special text and what it has meant to my life. Quote, there are only two ways to live your life. One as though nothing is a miracle, the other as though everything is a miracle. The last sentence of this text has become the theme of my life. I have lived to see and experience God's miracles in my life. For as long as I can remember, I have always desired to work freely and independently for human rights, especially the rights of Iranians. I have always wanted to become a strong voice for the oppressed and imprisoned people of Iran. They are my people. I have lived in Iran most of my life and watched them suffer. I prayed for my dreams to come true, and one day they finally did come true. When I arrived in Sweden in 2017, I experienced the first real miracle in my life. I became a close friend of American author Randy L. Noble, who was also a strong voice for the human rights of my people. I was amazed at how well we worked together as a team. We shared the very same ideas. Last year, another exciting miracle happened in my life. We published our first book together, Dear God, Please Bring Freedom to Iran. Our book brought awareness to the sufferings of Iranian political prisoners and the horrific abuse of human rights. It became very successful on Amazon and gave me many opportunities for interviews with the media. However, the most important miracle that dramatically changed my life occurred earlier this year. I had been an asylum seeker in Sweden for more than a year and a half, struggling to find work and make ends meet. Randy and I would meet together on Skype, and he would pray for my situation. Finally, my miracle day arrived. The Swedish Immigration Board approved me for a residency card. I will never forget the overwhelming joy that I felt after hearing the good news from my lawyer. Another miracle. Another dream had come true. My lifelong prayer of living free, of living safe without fear, had finally become a reality. I shouted for joy. Now I am a free woman. I can do as I want and say what I please without fear of imprisonment. Now I can freely write the personal stories of my Iranian friends and be their voice in a land where there is freedom to think, to believe, and to write. There is only one more miracle that I have prayed for and hope that I live to see in my lifetime: the liberation of my homeland, the day that freedom and democracy finally comes to Iran. This will be the greatest miracle in my life. Every day I pray this miracle will happen to my people who have struggled and suffered so much in the last 40 years. Dear God, please bring freedom to Iran. We wrote this together just a day before the uprising began. Manoush talked about miracles in her story, the miracle of our friendship, the miracle of having our book published together, the miracle of being accepted by the Immigration Board of Sweden and given a residency card. And now the greatest miracle that Manoush wants to see, and I want to see, is the liberation, the hope and the freedom, the democracy that the Iranian people need. We are praying for freedom and democracy to come to Iran. And it looks like there will be much blood that has to be shed, a heavy price to pay. But we are standing together, praying for the Iranian people, posting videos, speaking out in their behalf. Please join Manoush and I as we daily monitor the situation in Iran, and we pray that the internet will soon be restored. But most importantly, we are asking our great God and Savior to intervene and to bring freedom, salvation, and democracy to the Iranian people. I want to thank you so much for joining me on this very special day. Please pray with me for this miracle to happen in Iran. I will keep you updated every day about the situation. God bless you. Have a great week, and I will see you again this Thursday on the Cross in the Desert.
Great.